Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler, Adam Soweski, Chris Cale, Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com, and of course, check them out on Facebook as well, guys. Give them a call, 365-9022. High school football still going strong for teams in our area, guys. Got a couple big games this week, but let's recap what happened last Friday night first and then Saturday night as well, Chris.
How's come I get introduced last?
Because I just happened
to look. He's
the
new guy.
I just happened to look at Adam first, sorry. He takes up more room than you do.
He does. He does. You both take up more room than I do.
But you're slimming down. I'm gaining on you, though.
I know. What's up with that? You come in here and you just go to second on the board.
I guess I'm standing in the right spot.
I guess so.
He's standing in my spot normally, so hey.
Right. All right, guys. On Friday night, Division II, Region 7, Dover, the number 4 seed, fell to Columbus Whitehall. Yearling, the number 5 seed, 38-31. The Tornadoes were down 23-3 after the first quarter and then 23-17 at halftime. They did take the lead twice in the third quarter, but Yearling answered both of those scores. Dover just couldn't get a defensive stop when they needed it.
Yeah, they struggled a little bit defensively. That Whitehall team was pretty good, pretty explosive. Dover did a great job in the second half with their adjustments, even really in the second quarter, making adjustments to try to slow down their quarterback. And, it just a couple big plays here and there kind to hurt them, a trick play in the beginning of the game. You take that away and they don't score. But, maybe Dover gets out of there with the win. But hats off to the Dover Tornadoes. They came out. They were down, I believe, at one point it was 23-6, if I remember right, or 23-3.
It was 23-3.
Yeah, and, they came back and got it within a touchdown before halftime, took the lead after halftime, and battled back and played a lot better in the second half. And Dan Ifton, that coaching staff, made a lot of good adjustments and got that team playing. But, just a little bit too late when you dig out of a hole like that, and you're a big hole like that, feel like you're fighting an uphill battle all night long. You just ran out of steam, and you know what? Dover had a great season, nothing to hang their head about.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. When you get down 23-3, and it doesn't matter if it's a regular season game, a playoff game, it takes so much out of your team to get back. Where Whitehall, yes, they were allowing Dover to score, but they were maintaining the whole game, and that's why they were able to jump right back on top of the Dover Tornadoes once Dover was able to get a 1 or 2 point lead late in the game.
Right, yeah. Alex Sarah, another good game. 17-31, 266 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He had 14 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Kyler Folkert, 9 carries, 40 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Ian Sexton, a couple of catches, 66 yards and a touchdown. Kid had 15 tackles on defense, too. Ethan Snyder, 6 catches, 76 yards. Be interesting as the Tornadoes finish their season now at 8-3, and that'll be interesting. They're losing a lot, so Dover needing to rebuild, kind of like a lot of teams have went through, that senior laden group now, going to have to kind of rebuild and count on some of these sophomores and juniors to rebuild.
Yeah, they lose a lot at the skill position. Obviously, Alex Sayre's gone. Kyler Folkert's gone. A lot of the good skill receivers that they have are gone. They're losing some good defensive
Sexton,
players.
Sexton, Snyder.
Yep. Owen Poland on the defensive end. He's gone. So, Dover, though, it seems like they, they get the kids to step up when it's time for them. And we'll see how Dover comes out next fall. And it'll be interesting to really see what this team looks like next year. We'll have a different quarterback to talk about next year. No more Alex Sayre.
Probably Cade Rusiger, but
I guess. I would assume, yeah.
That was my guess.
As long as he stays healthy in basketball.
We'll be talking about him here in a couple months.
We will. So, obviously, another game on Friday night that we had updates from and stuff. The West Holmes Knights, they fell to Kenston. I believe it was 48-34 was the final in that game. We were able to talk to Zach Gardner on our broadcast last Saturday night about the game. And, he's really proud of his team. And, he has every right to be. I mean, again, another senior-laden team, though. I believe they have 18 seniors on West Holmes, but they had a chance to win that late in the game, and some things just don't go your way, and a big play here, a big play there, and that's what happened to West Holmes.
Yeah, West Holmes, the 7 seed, again, they fell to Kenston, the 2 seed, 48-34, like you mentioned, Joe, and that was Division 3, Region 9. The Knights trailed 13-6 after the first quarter, 27-18 at the half, and then They had came all the way back and tied it up at 34 with 5 minutes to play. West Holmes was driving. They got down to, well, they threw a pass. Bridger Klein threw a pass to Sugar Shane Jones about the 20-yard line or so. It tipped off his fingertips into a defender's hand, and that pretty much sealed their fate as Kenston ended up picking up, you know, a couple points to close that out. But, you know, really, like Joe had said, Adam, a senior-laden team, Bridger Klein, Sugar Shane Jones going to be on that short list for guys for our player of the year. They had great seasons.
Absolutely. They always filled the stat sheets week in and week out. And West Holmes had one of the probably, I guess, if you go week by week, probably one of the toughest schedules in the area.
Yeah.
The conference that they're in is loaded, you know, from top to bottom. And they, you know, in the playoff game, I think it's kind of what we just talked about with the Dover Tornadoes. You get down early, you fight back, where the, you know, Kenston sounds like they just maintain the whole game.
Yep. Sure.
Yep.
And that's usually what teams do in the playoffs. Teams that deserve to be there, like a Kenston, like a West Holmes, usually they just maintain and do their thing and don't let the turnovers affect them or
right.
let the, you know, big plays affect them. But that's usually how teams lose in the playoffs, is a big play or a penalty that get the penalties that get them behind the chains, so to speak, or turnovers. You know, that's kind of what happened to West Holmes on Saturday night or Friday night. Bridger Klein with three interceptions.
Yeah, that's what I was
gonna say. Very uncharacteristic of Bridger, and a great season, great career for him as well. That comes to an end on Friday. But Bridger Klein, they put a lot of pressure on him. He tried to make some things happen, you know what, and things like that happen in playoff games because every team you're playing is good. And like Adam said, their schedule is very tough throughout the year, and they've been tested. They were there at the end, and one big play cost them the game.
Yeah, 18 of 31, 252, and two touchdowns, three picks for Bridger Klein. Kale Oji, they just could not get the run game going. 11 carries, only 20 yards. Sugar Shane Jones had two carries, 10 yards, and a touchdown. Six catches, 98 yards, and a touchdown, and a pick on defense. Kid just does a little bit of everything. And Grady Macon Hay had seven catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown as West Holmes. They finish up at 8-3. Also, could we see more of West Holmes in the next couple of years if Dover and New Philadelphia move back into the Ohio Cardinal Conference? We'll see.
Yeah, we will see about that. Of course, lots of rumors flying around. What's going to happen with the rest of the ECOL? And I think it's pretty much foregone conclusion that the ECOL is a goner. So we'll see what happens with Dover Philly coming up here in the next 6-8 months and see what happens.
Yeah, because
with,
a lot will have to be moving because at the end of next season, that is the end of the ECOL. So we'll have
And I'll tell you what, guys, the writing is definitely on the wall because when you have a league champ sitting at 4-0 in the conference. Yeah. That tells you pretty much all you need to know about that ECOL.
Well, maybe they can just become independent and play every game at home. Well, maybe not. But anyway, Saturday's games were fun, entertaining. A couple games, we'll get into those. Of course, Chris, you got the rundown from Saturday.
Yeah, we'll start off with D7 Region 25, the number 8 TCC Saints. They lost to number 1 seed Cuyahoga Heights 42-13. The game was tied at after the first quarter at 7, guys. And everybody was like, wow, TCC might, you know what I mean? They might make some noise. Maybe Casey wasn't blowing smoke when he was in here, you know what I mean? And he told me in the post game or at halftime on Friday night that the beer that he delivered, he didn't deliver any to Cuyahoga Heights. He kept delivering it to Malvern, he said. But no, they ended up falling in that game. You know, the Redskins put up 21 points in the second quarter to kind of put that thing away at 28-7 at half. The Redskins rushed 58 times for 330 yards. TCC only had 188 yards total.
Well, I'll tell you what, and that right there shows you when you're playing with, as Coach Cummings said when he was in Friday night, they have 13 kids that generally hit the field when they play a game. 13 kids, there's no way whenever you're playing. Obviously, I don't know how many teams Cuyahoga or how many players Cuyahoga Heights had, but with 13 kids, that says so much that they, I mean, a quarter was probably they were able to give it all they had. And then from that point forward, they probably started to wear down a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. And that's what happens when you got 13 kids going both ways. Obviously, you only play 11 at a time, but you rotate guys in and out. And, you know, a tweet a few weeks ago that I saw from Cade Cummings, you know, the magician waves his magic wand. And again, hats off to Coach Cummings all season long. You know, pretty much everybody wrote them off. You know, they were sitting at 2-5 2-5 one point.
And won their last three.
And ended up being 5-5 in the playoffs. So, man, hats off to Coach Cummings and doing what he does and getting those kids to buy into his talks and buy into, hey, we can get in the playoffs. We get 5-5, we can get in the playoffs. And hats off to them. And TCC, great season. Alex Price, another kid that showed improvements all season long.
And he'll be back. Alex Price, 11 of 22, 119 yards and a touchdown. Had a 21-yard scamper with seconds to go in the game to round out the scoring for them. Anthony Fredericks had a 7-yard TD catch. Brees Blanchard, Fergas, those kids all. Ryan Dick will be back. He was only a sophomore, you know what I mean? So TCC has some guys coming back that they can definitely build upon. You know, I expect better things next year.
Sure, I would agree with you. And TCC, they'll continue to get better under Casey's tutelage, and we'll see next season how they do. And hopefully he can get some more kids coming out for football and get that program built back up the way he had it. You know, there was 30, 32, 33 kids there a few years ago, and see if we can get those numbers back up and TCC can be a force in Division 7 again.
Well, it's all about enrollment over there, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They just don't have the enrollment. So when enrollment is up at TCC, then they have the kids to pick from, and you get your 29, 30 kids. But when your enrollment is, you know, your graduating class is 13, I mean, where are you going to get kids from?
So that's
the issue over there. And and obviously, you know, Casey said Cade is not on the market to be coaching anywhere. He's under contract with Casey. So
there you go. That's a fatherly contract.
Yes, it is. Moving on to D5 Region 17, the number 7 seed Sandy Valley Cardinals, they were shut out by Akron Manchester, the 2 seed, 35-0. Guys, I don't have any stats on Sandy Valley. They did not send them out. They did not post them on Friday Night Ohio. They weren't in the TR. They weren't anywhere. So what I have is they trailed 14-0 after the first quarter, 28-0 at the half. And Panthers junior running back Ethan Wright, just as Coach Gamble said, he is the real deal. 22 carries, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah, when you're averaging 10 a carry, that's pretty good. You don't have to worry about what you're going to do for a first down.
No, yeah, that's a pretty good game. And then Panthers senior A.J. Johnson had 7 carries, 134 yards, and a touchdown. That's pretty good, too. 7 carries, 134. You do the math, that's 15 a carry or so.
Again, not needing to know what you need to do for a first down.
Right, exactly. Cam Blair, I know you know, struggled at times in this game. You know, we had talked, of course, Riley Benson covered the game for us, and, you know, they just struggled offensively was the key. And I don't think anybody thought that Sandy Valley was going to be shut out and have a running clock at the, you know, late in this game. I don't think anybody would have saw that.
I would agree with that, and I think you still got to tip your cap to Brian Gamble and the Sandy Valley Cardinals for this year. IVC North champions, 9-1 regular season, only lost to Indian Valley, who's still in the playoffs.
Yep.
And you know what? You know, hats off to them and continue going on. That's going to be that's a young team. They've got a lot of talent coming back. Yep. They do lose one of the Kelly brothers.
Yep.
I believe Bryce is gone. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? They have something special going on up there. They took a year off, and after Coach Gardner left, it was down a little bit. They took a year off, came back with a vengeance this year, and 9-1 regular season, finished the season at 9-2 with a loss last week. But Sandy Valley continue to get better, and they will be fun again to watch next year.
Well, yeah, you return Cam Blair, who will be a junior. You return Brennan Obradovich, who will be a senior. You return Brody Kelly, who will be a senior.
Dante
you
return, Tucci's brother, Mason.
You return Tucci. You return Demetrius Evans.
Yep.
That's... They're going to be fun to watch.
Sure, and they're going to throw it around the field.
Right.
We know that. Yep. So,
well, and Obradovich can close it for him. We know that. He had, 120-some yards last week in closing duties at the running back position. So That is Sandy Valley's second ever school playoff appearance, their first conference title since 1956. Brian Gamble continuing on that tradition that Coach Gardner laid the foundations for.
Absolutely, and if you want to be good next season, it starts right now. It doesn't start in August.
Yep.
It starts right now. So I know Coach Gamble was getting those guys back in the weight room and getting ready for next season. Obviously, some of them go on to play basketball, with Brian Gamble being the baseball coach. A lot of his kids play baseball as well, so he'll keep them going and get them in the weight room, and we'll be fun to watch Sandy Valley next year.
Yeah, Sandy Valley, I mean, all of our area schools, so much talent.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's incredible how much talent comes through the 13 teams that we cover, from Carrollton to New Cumberstown to Ridgewood to, Sandy Valley up north. Incredible.
Yeah, and generally, for just about every year, we're talking about 6 to 7 of those 13 are the elite teams in their league.
Right.
I mean, it's a constant, too.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yep, and then moving to the games that we had stringers at last week, the actual winning teams, I should say, Division 5, Region 19, the number 2 Ridgewood Generals defeated number 7 Amanda Clear Creek 41-23. Freshman quarterback Gabe Tingle, 13-21, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air, 40-29-64. Pretty good numbers there. He also had 19 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown. And if you have not seen the touchdown run, that he should have been sacked by two guys in the backfield, went up the sideline, split a couple guys, cut back across the field, made one guy look terrible twice. He fell over himself twice trying to tackle this kid.
Well, the jump cut was sick. I mean, at the end.
It's all sick.
Oh, yeah.
The kid ends up in the end zone with a touchdown. Gabe Tingle, we kind of talked about it last week, that maybe the stage would be finally too big for him. He said, yeah, right. Right?
Yeah, as a freshman, doing what he's doing is very, very impressive. And Coach Slusser has got to just be anxious. And, I mean, obviously, this year's not done yet, but right? He's got 3 more years.
It's funny that we say he's had a great run in the playoffs so far. It kind of reminds me of another freshman quarterback a couple years ago, number 2 Baron May, when he came in and led them to 2 or 3 wins in the playoffs. Yeah. And Baron was doing some special things as a freshman. As he came in, I believe, if I remember correctly, he came in a part of that Dover Philly game and got out of that game and then played the playoffs the rest of the way.
Yeah, because Logan Bitticoffer went down with the injury. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So Billy went down to the injury in the Dover Philly game.
Yeah.
We've kind of seen this out of a freshman before, like Baron May. So, Gabe Tingle.
But this is a freshman starting all the way through.
I know. That's what I
which
mean.
Is,
so, well, he's really not a freshman, though. He's been through 10 regular season games. He's still a freshman, but,
right, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In his first playoff appearance is what I'm saying.
It almost reminds you of, I agree with the Baron May thing, or, even an Alex Sayre thing where Dan Epps went and got him like third game of the season and said, look, kid, you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
And, look at the maturation of Alex Sayre and Baron May. Where is this kid going to go?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Caden Smith, a junior tailback, he had a 14-yard TD run. He had 6 catches, 108 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He'll be back next year. Colton Smith, 5 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Deontay Brandon had a rushing touchdown. Guys, looking at this week, they will move on to take on the number 3 seed Meadowbrook Colts Saturday night at Woody Hayes Quaker Stadium in the regional semifinal. Tell you what, the Colts are 8-3. They're coming off their first ever playoff victory in school history against Oak Hill. They smashed them 62-13.
I guess they didn't play Indian Valley this year.
No, they did not. They had 259 rushing yards and 120 through the air. Davis Black, we saw a lot of these kids last year in the Indian Valley game. Davis Black, their quarterback, he was 5 for 7, had a touchdown pass, a rushing touchdown. Brady Blattner, their tailback, 9 carries, 86 yards and a touchdown, 2 catches, 52 yards. He also had a pick 6. And listen to these numbers. Timmy Ferguson, the other tailback, 6 carries, 69 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
And I believe he's only a sophomore.
That'd be a good fantasy pick.
It would be a good fantasy pick.
6 carries, 59 yards, and by the way, only 2 of them didn't go for a touchdown. He also had a 57-yard kickoff return that went down to like the 20-yard line, the opening kick.
Kind of sounds like another running back in the area that had like a couple games like that. He had maybe like six or seven carries and four or five touchdowns, and had been Caden Hostetler.
So. Wow. So we're still on there. We're not to Inyamali yet.
I'm just saying. I mean,
I know you're just saying, and I'm just saying.
Because there's a common thing right there with Inyamali and Meadowbrook from last
year.
There is. But Inyamali, of course, got the best of Meadowbrook last year. Meadowbrook continues to improve, and they actually dropped a division this year in mm-hmm. Division 5. So we'll see how that game plays out on Saturday. But
yeah, and we will have Josh Lewis there covering that game for us. You guys will talk to them at halftime, obviously. Mm-hmm. Adam Sweski will be in studio with Jim Haynes and Tim Plant, so it'll be good. You know, we'll talk to Josh Lewis. It'll be pretty awesome to hear from him at the half and see what the Ridgewood Generals are doing.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. And of course, the game the Big Z Sports will be at, calling play-by-play, will be Saturday night, Indian Valley and Licking Valley, the Panthers and Braves down at Philo, on the campus of Philo. Sam Hatfield Field or stadium, the Indian Valley Braves,
home of the Electrics.
Yeah, home. Have you seen the field? It's pretty cool looking. It's
going to be shocking.
It is going to be shocking because there's a lot of electricity in the air. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, is it?
Yeah.
And guess what the odds of this are? Right. Last year, Philo, the Electrics, mm-hmm. knock Indian Valley out of the playoffs,
and they played at Meadowbrook. Yeah.
Okay. Then they go on to play. The Electrics went on to play John Glenn.
Who beat them.
This year, Indian Valley plays John Glenn in the first round, beats them, and now they're going on to play at Philo.
Against Licking Valley. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just weird how all that runs together.
It does. It's like the crossroads of America.
But we'll have all that action for you. Of course, our Hartzler's Quality Housing pregame show will come on at 6 o'clock with the guys here in the studio. We'll take it at 6:40 with a pregame at the game. And, of course, kickoff at 7 o'clock. It'll be a lot of fun. We can't wait to be there to watch the game. If you can't join us in person down there, obviously join us here on 99.9 WTUZ or online, WTUZ.com. You can always stream it no matter where you're at, or text the word listen to our Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399. You're about two or three clicks away from getting the game, even on your smartphone. So it'll be a lot of fun Saturday night. It's going to be cold, but guess what? We're going to be inside this year. Well, we're not going to be out in the press, but we're not going to be out in the stands or in our van or anything like that. So we'll be in the stands, and it was very cold last year.
Are you kidding me? Sitting right there at that table, the duct tape wouldn't even stick to the table.
And I mean, the cold bleachers, luckily my wife was smart enough to give us a blanket to sit on so our butt wouldn't be on a cold metal bench.
But we braved the elements.
We did.
Other people that did a broadcast from their van.
Yeah.
But all right, let's talk about Friday night's game first. Okay, it was our Sarshon Ford game of the week. The number 3 Indian Valley Braves defeated John Glenn 16-14, Division 4, Region 15. The game was tied at 0 at the half. Indian Valley, they averaged 334 yards on the ground, only able to muster 142.
Yeah, I was, I'll tell you what, it was definitely, obviously, as the score showed, it was 0-0 at the half. Neither team could sustain anything, you know, to get any points on the board. It was a strange start to the game. Indian Valley looked like they were going to score a couple times, and then John Glenn just, held him in check. I'll tell you what, it was weird for me. It was the first time I got to see Indian Valley mm-hmm. play. And being down 7-0, Indian Valley goes down and scores to make it 7-6. And me, thinking, you know, normally, I'm waiting to see the extra point. You know, No, they go out and go for two. I'm like, wow.
That's what they do.
Well, that's what Shannon Thomas told me. He goes, this is what they do. Yeah, I was very impressed.
I mean, you're used to Storm Elsasser and McInturf and all them other guys kicking the ball through the uprights. Indy Valley says, you know what? We're shoving it down your throat again and going back in the end zone.
Yeah, their kicking game, they tried it a few times this year, and it just wasn't happening. So they go for two. Is that going to be something that comes down to bite them in the end? Well, it won't, as long as they continue to get the 2-point conversions and they don't need to kick any field goals.
And they're very successful.
And Cade Williams has got, I think, 13 2-point conversion runs this year, and he's got like 4 passing ones. But in the second half, Cade Williams did take over and got those 2 touchdown runs and the 2 2-point conversion runs. He was 3-for-10, only 28 yards, did have the 2 picks, but 17 carries, 141 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground was the difference. Caden Hostetler, he was bottled up all night, guys. 14 carries, only 35 yards. Sophomore running back Zach Love had 7 carries, 41 yards, did have 11 tackles on defense. But They really kept the running backs in check for Indian Valley, did John Glenn, but they didn't count on Cade Williams for some reason.
Yeah, they it just seemed like all night they had two guys kind of spying Caden Hostetler a little bit to take him, make sure he was taken out of the game. Well, you do that, guess what that frees up? It frees up another guy, and that number guy was number seven, Cade Williams, and he did a great job in the second half to really put that team on his back and carry him into the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, hats off to Cade. What a remarkable, played well on defense, yep. A couple big sacks, big runs, big touchdown run. Man, there was on the long touchdown run that he had, he cut around to the sideline, to the far sideline, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna knock him out of bounds. Well, he just shifted into another gear and ran away from that kid, and I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming from Cade Williams that late in the game. And you know, that just shows you the heart, the determination of what a senior leader can do, and that's exactly what Cade Williams did.
Well, and Adam, their defense really played well too. You know, Braden Lehigh, Cade Williams, a couple of those guys on the defensive end, you know, they really did their job of stymieing John Glenn as well.
Absolutely. I mean, they were flying around the ball all night long. And, you know, when push came to shove, John Glenn was making that one last effort to get back, you know, to regain the lead at the end of the game. Indian Valley was able to strip the ball. Tanner Myers recovered, and the rest was, you know, the rest is history.
Right, absolutely. And our Starshone Ford game of the week this week again will be the Indian Valley Braves. Will go down and host, or they will take on the number seven seed Licking Valley Panthers at Philo Electric Stadium. Licking Valley, they defeated Gallia Academy 36-12. They outgained them 520-277, guys, including 386 yards on the ground. Their quarterback, Chase Wisner, was 12-18, 134 yards, two touchdowns. He also carried it 19 times for 104 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Wisner going to have to be, he's going to be somebody that the Braves are going to have to watch. The other one is the running back, Connor McLaughlin, 256 yards rushing, 195 in the second half.
Yeah, big night. Licking Valley definitely has some weapons for Indian Valley to be concerned about. But again, our Starshone Ford of Waynesburg, game of the week this week, again, Indian Valley and Licking Valley, again, brought to you by Starshone Ford of Waynesburg. We will have that air on the air beginning at 6:40 with our pregame from the station. And our pregame from the station will be 6, and our pregame from the stadium will be at 6:40. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. Big Z Sports will be there, have you covered. And social media as well. Shannon Thomas will do all his social media stuff as well. So if you can't make it, make sure you tune in and check out Facebook. Keep your Facebook account close. We will have the highlights and all kinds of fun stuff. So let's move on now to maybe hit on college football real quick. The Buckeyes with a win last week. It wasn't pretty.
Ugly.
But you know what? They did what they had to do. They got a win. They got the running game going a little bit last week, which was nice to see. But a big test this Saturday night or Saturday afternoon at Michigan State. One of two games left that kind of concerned me. Obviously, you go on the road to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Always worries me a little bit. They never play well there. But one of two games left on the schedule that really concerned me. Buckeyes, you think they can pull it out this week?
I don't know. I mean, I think for some reason they're still hung over with this Purdue loss, and they need to get over it and get over it in a hurry. Nebraska shouldn't have been in this game. You know what I mean? The eye test, they're not winning the eye test right now. There are too many close games, sure. Too many, you know, before the Purdue loss. The Indiana game was too close. There was other things that have happened. The Penn State game, let's just face it, they probably shouldn't have won that game. You know, they're sitting ninth in the country right now, and it's like, you know, asking about Slim Shady. You know, when is the real Ohio State going to stand up? Will you please stand up? Because, you know, if not, they're going to be going around the outside and all the way out of the top 25.
Yeah, I mean,
you see what I did there?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I think that they need to lose three games to fall out of the top 25. They're ranked 10th right now in the college football playoff. But you know what? Losing one game to Purdue, who, you know, is a decent team. I mean, they just beat another good team the other night. But you know what? Ohio State is trying to figure some things out, and that's kind of where they're at right now. I think, you know, the running game has been the issue. The defense is really been an issue, you know, obviously all year long, not just the last few weeks, but even giving up a lot of points to Oregon State and giving up points to every team they've played when they should be beating them 70-7, you know, yep. Whatever. But you know what? The Buckeyes' defense is the concern. I think the offensive line has been playing better. The run game got going last week. J.K. Dobbins looked like the J.K. Dobbins of old. Haskins played well last week. So, you know, it's fun to watch the offense when they're moving, but it's painful to watch the defense.
My thing was, you know, coming off their bye week, I was expecting some a lot better play on the defensive side of the ball, and I just didn't see it. I mean, they were the Urban Meyer was the first one to admit things need to change the way we're executing, you know, after that Purdue game. And I thought for sure coming with, you know, 2 weeks later, yeah. I thought for sure we would be able to see very easily, not looking hard, see a lot of change playing. Defensive side of the ball, I didn't see it.
Right.
I didn't see it at all.
You're thinking that they're coming into Columbus, you know, and not a very good Nebraska team, and they're finally going to pound somebody.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there going, they're going to lose this game. They're going to blow this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, we can't even mess with Indian Valley this week until after the Ohio State-Michigan State game is finished.
Well, I would agree, but we'll have to get on the road before that game's over with, unfortunately.
Nope. Can't do it.
But we'll see.
You'll be walking.
We'll see. Hopefully the game's out of hand and we don't have to worry about a close game.
I agree.
And you know, maybe there'll be up 4 or 5 touchdowns by 2:30 and we'll be all right. So.
And then Alabama, they pretty much took care of what they needed to with LSU.
I'm still not sold on Alabama.
I'm telling you what, really though. They look pretty good. Well, Clemson looked pretty good.
Alabama, that was their first game of the year, though.
Well, I
agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I get it, but...
I really think a one-loss Alabama team, they won't get in.
I still don't agree with you with that.
I think if they lose one game, I don't think they get in.
If Alabama loses to Shucking State, then they drop to number 8 in the country. Ohio State, you know, darn near drops out of the top 15 by losing to Purdue. It is what it is.
Obviously, but, the NFL, real quick, let's move on to the NFL. There's a big game tonight for U2 Honks. The Steelers welcome in the Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Scam Newton.
And all I will say is this.
Yeah.
We'll come out tonight.
All I will say is scam will happen. It'll go into the ground.
But, hey, breaking news out of Pittsburgh, actually, just came through on ESPN.
Le'Veon Bell's at a gym.
No. Antonio Brown cited for reckless driving this morning, doing 100 on an interstate in his Porsche, according to reports out of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, he must have been late for practice. I don't see the big deal.
At least somebody gets to practice.
Right. Well, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that the Steelers play the Panthers tonight on Thursday Night Football on Fox. And I think you'll see a lot of Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and James Conner.
As long as he's not in jail for reckless driving.
Come on.
Okay.
They don't put athletes in jail.
That's Juju. True.
Don't forget about Juju.
Juju didn't even have a bike.
Juju.
He got his bike stolen. You know what I mean? He got it back, though, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Browns take on Atlanta at First Energy Stadium Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Baltimore.
Hey. I didn't talk bad about your Steelers now. Come on.
Yeah, you did. You did this.
I didn't say.
But the Bengals take on the Ratbirds in a pivotal game for both teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Pivotal.
No, the Bengals take on the Saints.
No, the Bengals take on Baltimore, at Baltimore.
No, I don't think so. I think it's the Saints. Ooh.
Do we have a disagreement?
Well, anyways, while you guys are figuring that out, how about the Browns getting another hot team? The Falcons are on a roll.
Yeah.
And they're strolling into, you know, they're going to be playing.
Already then.
Going to.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
What'd you say?
I was wrong.
Let's say it again.
So then.
You were what?
But yeah, the Falcons, I think, are going to.
Falcons and Browns.
Probably going to take care of business, unfortunately, for Browns fans.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll see what happens. But it's Bengals-Saints this week.
Okay, so maybe it's Baltimore next week then. I don't know what I looked at.
I don't know.
Speaking of the Saints, Dez.
I know, Dez Bryant now with the Saints. We'll see if he even plays this week.
Yeah.
I knew he did. I knew he went and got
him. I went and tried to get him in our league that we're in, but Riley beat me to it.
No, I drafted him in ours.
Oh, yeah, he kept him on.
Yeah, he was like my 20th pick.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, so, he may be a difference if you make the playoffs.
But you know who you're playing this week?
No.
The number one team in the league?
Who?
Me.
Okay.
So good luck to you.
I'll smack you around.
Good luck to you. Like you smacked Josh around last week?
Well, that's because C.J. Beathard was hurt.
The three guys that didn't play?
C.J. Beathard was hurt. I couldn't.
Don't lie.
Saturday.
Why was C.J. Beathard in your lineup? Tell us the truth.
C.J. Beathard was in the lineup because he was my bye week quarterback the week before.
Why was he in your lineup on Thursday?
Because I forgot he played on Thursday. I said that. No, I forgot.
You said he was hurt, and I'm like, well, yeah,
he was hurt.
But you left.
But I didn't know he was hurt.
You left him in because you forgot.
Right. Because I was actually, and then Matt Ryan blows up and has three touchdowns.
It was funny when he told me that story because he said, "Man, C.J. Beathard, it's halftime,
and he has no points." So I looked. I'm like, he didn't have any points. I looked through, and it was like he was hurt, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, at least I would have got some points from him. Not that I wanted him in my lineup, but it is.
And then Matty Ice goes off, and you could have won that. Yeah. I don't think it would have helped that much. But.
Probably not. And then the Cavs last night, they dropped to 1-10 on the year, guys, after a 95-86 loss to Oklahoma City. Dennis Schroeder had 28.7 boards. PG-13 had 18.7 boards. Rookie Colin Sexton led the Cavs with 15 points. J.R. Smith, 13 points and a whopping 2 assists. Tristan Thompson with a double-double, 10 points, 15 rebounds.
I tried to watch some of that game last night. They're atrocious. I mean, they're running the offense through J.R. Smith.
Through LeBron that's not there anymore?
Yeah, basically. They're still trying to pass to him.
And then they gave David Blatt a contract that guarantees him he'll be there the rest of the season.
Who?
Or not David Blatt, Larry Drew. I mean, yeah, I'm going back to another coach they shouldn't have got rid of in the first place, but they did because of LeBron. Now LeBron, it is.
Yeah,
what
listen,
it is.
Guys,
Cavs
I mean,
are a mess.
Russell Westbrook didn't play.
Right.
Paul George could have sat down.
Right.
And Sam Adams, or not?
Yeah, Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams.
He could have sat.
They could all drink Sam Adams. Yeah. Still.
Right. So. Hey, where'd Stephen Adams go to school?
Stephen Adams.
Yeah, he was the center for Pittsburgh. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
I should have just guessed Pittsburgh. Right.
Anytime he ever says that, just say Pittsburgh.
Hey, so
learn that. It's all right.
Hey, so the Cavs, they play at the Chicago Bulls Saturday night at 8 o'clock. The Cavs are last in the East. Toronto is 11-1, Milwaukee 8-4, Boston 6-4. Those are the top three in the West. Golden State 10-1, Denver 9-2, Portland 8-3.
So my question is this. Is the countdown clock to Zion already started?
I hope so, but that dude's legit.
He
Zion
is.
Zion Williamson at Duke.
And then what's the other freshman? Because
they have three freshmen that are studs at Duke. Cameron Reddish, R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
R.J. Barrett was the one. Yeah, him and Zion.
Zion Williamson, dude, he's legit.
If Duke.
And if he's in a Cavs uniform next season, wow, that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, if Duke loses this year, something's wrong.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they
the fix is in if they lose because I mean honestly.
I agree. And then Ohio State basketball defeated Cincinnati last night, which I was kind of surprised at that, especially with a little bit of turmoil of some players leaving and whatnot. But
look at it this
way: Buckeyes look pretty good,
and the
kid from Jackson looked pretty good too.
They looked okay. They got to get a little better scoring the ball and playing. Stay out of foul trouble. That type of thing.
Just had a player leave.
You did, but you know, kind of threw it into shambles a little bit. But you got to think though, the Big Ten lost their player of the year in Kade Bates Diop, who went to Ohio State. UC lost their conference player of the year as well, who left for the NBA as well. So both teams were down conference players of the year. Kind of, you know, UC getting in back into their Fifth Third Arena and get back into that new newly renovated place for them.
What is Fifth Third, by the way?
I don't understand.
It's a bank.
Yeah, but I don't understand it.
Fifth Third Bank.
Yeah, but what is Fifth Third?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
It's bad.
Like,
math.
I know what one third is. I know what two thirds is. I don't know what Fifth Third is because that's more than one.
It's one and a half.
167%.
Right. So why don't they call it one and a half bank?
Because Fifth Third sounds better.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It does. It really doesn't.
It does.
Okay. NASCAR news. Speaking of Fifth Third.
NASCAR?
Yes.
Oh.
Kevin Harvick, he won at Texas.
Cheater.
That punched his ticket.
Cheater.
To Homestead.
Cheater.
And his spoiler was offset to the right-hand side to pick up extra downforce.
He cheated.
So he kept the win, but they said, yeah, your ticket to Homestead, we're going to take that back.
Cheater.
Oh,
yeah. So now the only person that is alive for Homestead is Joey Logano, who won the previous week. But Kevin Harvick's going back to a place where he's absolutely dominated, which is Phoenix this week.
So is it Logano's championship to lose then?
No, I don't think so. The big three still probably going to get in. I think Truex and Kyle Busch are going to get in on points. I think Harvick gets in this week with... I mean, he dominates at Phoenix, guys. So when he gets to Phoenix, I think he gets there.
What?
How far was the spoiler off?
Over?
We got Phoenix and Homestead. That's it. This is it. Last race before the final.
That was because Rachel and I, we saw a commercial for a race, and we're like, "This, it's still running."
Yeah.
Come on, man! You're NASCAR, a race fan.
NASCAR
What's the matter with you?
January 1 to November 30th, and then it starts back up.
What's the matter with you?
Well, we just didn't think it was still going.
So you're saying you haven't watched a race in a while?
No,
I don't blame
Sorry.
You. I do if I want to take a nap on Saturdays. Or
it's Sunday.
Either way.
Jeez.
Either that or I turn
I don't
on the
even know what to do with
something.
You people. But Joey Logano, the only one who's punched their ticket to the final round at Homestead. Four total will make it, so three more this week after Phoenix. And then next week is the championship race at Miami Homestead. And then we get to go to the banquet. And then
4 weeks later,
we do it again.
Come on, man. You're killing me over here.
Okay, so the spoiler that Harvick had on the back of his car.
It was offset to the right.
Was it off more than a millimeter?
Yeah, a little bit.
How far?
I don't know how far, but it was
Does
offset
it really make
a little
that
bit
much
to the
difference?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you put a thin piece of paper on the right side of the car and it adds downforce, it's going to make a big difference, especially in a place like Texas where they had a lot of people spinning out because of loose race cars. That puts that extra downforce on the back end. Yeah, it's going to make a difference.
Well, he's a cheater, and he'll go down like Tom Brady to me. He's a cheater.
But you know what the cool thing was? One of the coolest things I've seen in a while.
A lot of people that win
races now, they'll take a checkered flag. They'll take the checkered flag and they'll give it to a kid, or they'll sign it and give it to a kid. Kevin Harvick actually took a kid out of the crowd, put him up on the hood of the car, took a selfie with him, and then gave him back. And then after the race was over, invited him into the garage area, and crew chief got to get pictures. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
That's the kind of stuff you want to see out of athletes, professional athletes. You know, bring the kid, get the kids involved, because God knows we need the next generation of race fans.
Well, you know why he did that? Because he knew he was cheating and he's going to get in trouble. He just wanted to be a fan favorite. So.
Well, right. Well, it could be. Maybe he should have had the kid go back and kick the spoiler, and then
maybe
they couldn't have measured
fault.
It.
Maybe he sat on the spoiler and moved it.
Could have been.
All right, so.
That's a conspiracy theory. Yet? Yes, we are.
All right. Again, don't forget Saturday night, Big Z Sports back on the air at 6 p.m. with our Heart Source Quality Housing pregame show. And, of course, from Sam Hatfield Stadium at Philo, the Indian Valley Braves and Licking Valley Panthers. Big Z Sports will be on the air again at 6:40 with the Heart Source Quality Housing pregame show from the stadium. Play-by-play at 7. Saturday night, no show this Friday. So if you're looking for a show to listen to, we won't be on. It'll be on Saturday. So we'll be on Saturday until football is over with. Hopefully we get to continue on for a couple of weeks. That would be really nice. But we'll see what happens this week with the Indian Valley Braves and Licking Valley Panthers. For Chris Kale, Adam Soweski, I'm Joe Geckler. We'll talk to you Saturday night beginning at 6 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.